Let me ask the question, why were you born? That's interesting if you'll think about it. Look at John chapter 18. Jesus knew why he was born. When he was standing there before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Am I a Jew? Am I supposed to know everything?" And he says, particularly in verse 37, Pilate said, "Are you a king? I can't figure out what's going on. I'm trying to get this information." And Jesus said, "You say that I'm a king," which is an affirmation of yes. "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come to the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, and my voice just said, I am the king." It's remarkable. Jesus fully understood why he came into this world. Now, let me ask you this question. Why were you born? You know, our year's theme this year for the entire year is at his cross. And we need to be aware that it is at his cross that we're trying to emphasize these things. This month, we're talking about at his cross, I find purpose. And I want to build on the lesson that David used earlier this month to discuss and to introduce this whole emphasis for this month by asking and emphasizing, why were you born? You ever think about that? You see, you and I need to understand that the question why you were born is another way of saying, what's my purpose on this earth? If you had to write down what your purpose on this earth is, I wonder what you would write down. Well, I don't want to just answer this philosophically. We'll talk in a philosophical way about some of this. But I want to ask, why were you born, and get it down to the practical level of your life. In answering the question, why were you born, what does your life reflect about what you think your purpose on this earth is? Well, there are various answers that people give to this. And there are those who says, there's no reason for me to be on this earth. You know, I don't even know why I was born. Dan, I am so depressed. And who has not, at least at some times in their life, been in that very attitude? By the way, recognize that David himself in one of the Psalms says, "When I saw how much righteous folks suffered and the wicked didn't suffer, I almost lost my faith in God." So if you ever arrive at that point in your life and you think, "Well, I just don't even know why I'm here on this earth. I am so unhappy, I'm so depressed," you need to understand that David himself was almost at that point. And David said, "I almost lost my faith when I saw how I was trying to serve God and nothing was turning out the way I thought it ought to turn out." You ever get to that point? If you haven't been there, in all likelihood, you'll get to that point at least sometime in your life. Now, the atheist, ask an atheist, what's the purpose of life? And he has no concrete answer that he can give to you. If you don't believe in God, what is the purpose of man's existence on this earth? Now, many atheists are the kinds of individuals that say life itself has no purpose, and that we live on this earth and there's no real purpose on this earth, and we are as meaningless on this earth as that roach you saw crawling across the kitchen floor last week. That's all life is. Life is as meaningless to a man because there is no God as to some insect that somebody's got the sprays out trying to kill that individual. Now, sometimes there are atheists and unbelievers who try to find a purpose on this earth, but I want to suggest to you, until we find the Bible answer and go to his cross and find out what life is all about, that we'll never be able to understand anything at all about what life is all about. There are those individuals who think that the purpose of life is to find peace in this world. And by that, they may wish it were world peace, but for sure they want to find inner peace. And a part of that comes out of the Eastern religions, and there are various shades of it, and some of them are built upon on the Eastern religion. Are you aware there are individuals on this earth who believe that the real solution to finding peace is to find a word or something that sounds like a word or some humming that comes along, and if you will just sit and not think about anything, and the best way to think about anything is to just hum or to say this word over and over and over again, and you will be able to find peace. Well, there may be some lowering of blood pressure that comes out of that, but I want to suggest to you that's not what peace is. That there's a peace that is of another nature that is far better than that, and David mentioned it in that class this morning. In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made unto God, known unto God, and the peace that passes all understanding will be yours. I want you to hear that. That whatever peace might some individual may find built based upon some philosophy that might have come out of Buddhism or something of that nature, the Bible says there's a lot better peace than that. And if one stops short in looking for peace before he finds the peace that passes all understanding, what's your purpose on this earth? Well, I'm in turmoil, Dan, and there's so much that makes me so unhappy and everything. If I can just have a moment's peace. Well, see, that verse, Philippians chapter 4 says, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. And look at the emphasis there. Don't worry about anything, but in everything. Anything and everything. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will guard and protect your souls. You want to find peace? Well, if one can find serenity and, you know, and a calmness within them by some philosophy that comes from man, not necessarily opposed to that, but I'm telling you, there's something far better from that. And if a person says, if I can just find that kind of peace, that's what life is all about. Well, that's not the right answer. And then there are those individuals who say, you find inner peace by self-denial. We sometimes turn inward and direct ourselves toward ourselves, and we find this philosophy that says, well, the Stoics had it. The Stoics said, if you'll just deny yourself of some things. That the Greek philosophy is, there were the Epicureans who said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But, you know, the Stoic says, you know, don't eat, don't drink, and don't worry about tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? The Stoic said, just deny yourself. Well, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 that a philosophy that is based upon touch not, taste not, handle not is a wrong philosophy about life. And without looking at that whole chapter, chapter 2 I should have said, looking at that whole chapter, we'll not be able to know where that peace comes from. But it doesn't come from self-denial. Well, then what's my purpose on this earth? What's my purpose on this earth? Well, my purpose on this earth is for me to find some cause on this earth. It can be political. It can be environmental. It can be philosophies about how to run your business. It can be a philosophy about, and you pick it out. My philosophy is that my purpose on this earth is to find that answer. And every time I get around somebody, just rub it in. You ever meet somebody like that? They believe that they really have the solution to absolutely everything, and that's their fulfillment on this earth. Why are you on this earth? Well, that's not the biblical answer. It's not the biblical answer. It's all right for you to be political if you want to, but there's something far better than that. It's all right for you to have philosophies about any of these things, secular things that are on this earth. Well, that's not what life is all about. And it shouldn't take you very long to recognize that that self-appointed agenda of your important message, nobody's going to pay any attention to you anyway. They'll be kind to you, but it's not likely that you're going to change the minds of many individuals. Then there is that philosophy that says, what I need to do is to find my true self in the present and not worry at all about anything that's happened in the past or anything that happens in the future. It's rather amazing how popular this idea has become. And that is, don't worry about the past. Just live for today. And it makes no difference about what you've commitments you've made in the past. It makes no difference about those things that's happened in your life. Just live for today. Well, now don't worry about tomorrow. Just live for today. And somebody said, well, isn't that what Jesus says when he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the philosophy that says that who you are in the past that has allowed you to be who you are in the present is a part of who you are. If you made a marriage commitment in the past, and somebody says, well, I just don't want to keep up that marriage commitment. I just think I'm going to live for today. Whatever's going to make me happy today, that's exactly what I'm going to do. What about the future? Well, I'm not even going to worry about that. I'm not concerned, and go back to that home situation. I'm not overly concerned about the children. I'm not overly concerned about my children, and I'm not overly concerned. I just want to be happy today. And I may not even go to work. You know, it can get almost to that level. Live in the present. And tied to that, and I put this here especially, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. But let's talk about, I got one ahead of myself, left one out, and that is to climb a personally defined ladder of success. What's your purpose in life? I want to be the best. And you pick your ladder, but there are individuals say that here's my career and I'm going to be the best there is in my career. I'm going to be the best at this and the best at that. And that's what some people say, that's what life is all about. And then let's get on to that next point, because young people, I want to talk especially to you about it. That is the gravest temptation I believe you face in your life. And that is, you think that life is, and you're not the only one. Somebody taught it to you. Somebody in this world has influenced the world so much that the attitude of those who are young is instant gratification. Sometimes the home situation where the home revolves around the children and the child never knows the word no, because mom and dad are doing everything they can to give their children everything, not that they need, but everything that they want. Sometimes they need not to have some things. But there's a world in our philosophy in our world that says instant gratification. Don't worry about the consequences of it. Just live in the present and don't even think about right and wrong. Don't think about Jesus. Don't think about sometimes the consequences of your action. Just go ahead and do it. Is that why you were born? And when you get to the end of your life and you look at all of these things that are there, and if you were to accomplish all of these things that are on the screen, you have not found why you were born in God's eyes. Well, before we come back and talk about that in more detail, we need to understand that sometimes individuals say, well, I'm a nobody and I could never be used by God. Obviously, that's the direction we're going to be heading in this lesson. But I want to talk to those individuals who think, I don't have any purpose on this life because I'm in the nobody classification. You know, I wasn't the salutatorian, I wasn't the valedictorian. You know, I was not what, how do you say that, magna cum laude or or summa cum laude, or maybe you were in the thank you Lordy or something. I don't know what class you were in, where you were in that graduation class. But you were just there. And you were that person, you know, always chosen last, picking teams. And even the team that should have picked you said, well, you can have him if you want him. And they put you out in right field. I know right field real well in my life. I want you to understand. You know, I don't know shortstop, though I was short, you know. But I know right field. Why? Well, because I'm a nobody. And you and I need to understand that when it comes to the spiritual answering the question, why was I born? We need to understand that it's all right to be a nobody. Let me see if we can illustrate that. Look at the 12 nobodies Jesus selected to be apostles. I want you to think about this. They were described as ignorant and unlearned. Going to build the kingdom of God. I'm going to bring about the culmination of God's plan on this earth. And he goes out and he finds those fishermen who were ignorant and unlearned. One translation uses the word illiterate. Well, that's not, they were not quite that ignorant because they wrote the New Testament. But ignorant and unlearned. Among the apostles, where are the scholars? I'm talking about the original 12. Find me the scholars among the apostles. When you look at those, they're ignorant and unlearned fishermen. There is, and see if you can figure out who this is, an uncontrolled, impetuous man. That's me, somebody says. I open my mouth before, you know, my mouth is running before my mind gets in gear. You know that man of the Bible? You remember that man who said, though all men are offended at you this night, I will not defend you. You know that man that denied him three times? The Lord said, I can use that kind of individual to build the kingdom of God. And there's a message there for us. If all your life you've been a nobody, God says, wonderful, you're the very person I can use. You want to have a purpose in life? Then look at Jesus when he came on this earth and he tried to build the kingdom of God and he took nobodies. He took a tax collector, Levi. Why, they didn't want to have anything at all to do with these individuals they called publicans, tax collectors. And Jesus chose a despised Levite, or a despised publican, tax collector by the name of Matthew. Other name was Levi. And you go down the list. You want to talk about Simon Zelotes? You know what a zealot was? Among the Jews, there were those individuals who walked around with hidden daggers inside their robes. And if they had the opportunity, when they got around a Roman soldier, they would walk up to him in the midst of a crowd, pull out that dagger, and kill that Roman soldier if you had an opportunity at all. They were the zealots. Simon Zelotes. Jesus chose a terrorist to build the kingdom of God. I don't think any of you are that. But if anybody has that nobody feeling, wonderful. You're the very kind of person that the Lord can use you at Palm Beach Lakes to build the church around. When he was here on this earth, that's exactly what he did. Briefly, he took a fruit picker by the name of Amos. Amos was also a shepherd. He said, I was among the sheepfold. He took a fruit picker. And in our culture, in our day, we talk about the lowest paid individuals in our society and those individuals who are in the economic level. They're way down on the list. Fruit pickers. And he said, you can go preach my word. Fruit pickers. But not only did he take Amos, he took a young shepherd boy who was so inconsequential in his family that when Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, he was left outside the house. You go take care of the sheep. Whenever that shepherd, and he was to be the next king, by the way, and Jesse had to, Samuel had to say, is there not another son? Is there not another one? And finally, David was brought in. But his brothers didn't want him when he came to the army. They were great soldiers, and they rebuked young David for ever coming there. Said, why weren't you at home taking care of the sheep? He's a nobody. And God took a nobody and made him the most powerful ruler on this earth. You a nobody? God can use you. Thank God that Palm Beach Lakes has a lot of nobodies here. And Gorman, did you just raise your hand there? We're just scratching your head. I turned around and I thank God for all the nobodies that were here, and Gorman's hand was going up right like that. You know I'm joking, Doran. He took Isaiah. I don't know what his background is. Those 332 prophecies about Jesus. Here was a man, whenever he came to the presence of God and saw the glory of God, he said, I'm a sinful man. Woe that I am. Oh, how sinful I am. And the Lord said, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I will. And the Lord took that nobody and made him the messianic prophet. When you think about what your purpose on this earth, don't sit back with an excuse yourself because I don't have any abilities, I don't have any talents. That's the whole point of this part of the lesson. God, whenever Jesus, when he came in the flesh in the presence of Jesus, did not get the scholar, he did not get the rich, he did not get men of nobility to build the kingdom from. And it was not his purpose then, nor has it been his purpose any time since then to build the kingdom of God around nobility on this earth. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, to be the heirs of eternal life? Don't sit and say, I'm a nobody. I've got no purpose on this earth. God uses nobodies. And it's rather remarkable as I began working on this lesson. I talked about he sent Amos and he sent David and he sent Isaiah to talk to the king. And then I thought, well, does he always send everybody? No. The man Legion had a legion of demons inside of him. Whenever that individual, Mark chapter 5 tells us that whenever that demons were cast out of that individual, he wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, go back home and tell the people around you what God has done for you. Isn't that sort of what the kingdom is all about? It's not to be the nobility of being the missionary that goes and sails in the, in the ships around the world or flies in the jets to distant places. It's not about those who occupy the large pulpits. It's not about those who write famous books. God Emmanuel said, Legion, I can use you. Not in the way you may envision me. You go home, and I can use you there. What's your purpose in life? Well, we need to understand that God does not need nobility. Can he take you and use you? Isaiah was an adult, evidently. Pardon me, Jeremiah was an adult, evidently, before he ever found out God had had a plan for him since before he was born. Lived all of his life. If you'd met Jeremiah prior to the time of his call, you'd say, Jeremiah, Can God use you? And God said, Jeremiah, I've had my eyes on you since the day that you were born. 17-year-old Joseph down the land of Egypt. God, can you use a teenager? You can use a teenager whose brothers hate him so much they want to kill him. Can you use a teenager? You know what he's worth? 20 pieces of silver. The going rate is 30. You get 20 for this one. You and I need to understand that because of direct revelation from God, Joseph could say, God sent me to the land of Egypt to keep you alive and to be a part of his eternal purpose. I love the words of Mordecai to Esther, queen of the world. And Mordecai says to Esther, not God has a plan for you, and his purpose for you was to be the queen of the world so that you might be able to save the Jewish nation. You haven't read the book of Esther. Great, great story awaiting you in that short book. Mordecai came and did not say, Esther, God put you on this earth, and here's your purpose on this earth, and that is you're on the throne to save the Jewish nation. All he said was, perhaps, who knows, but God has put you here for this very purpose. Can God use you? Did not God use individuals in biblical times? Yes. Now, if they had free will, they could have chosen not to have done what they chose to do. They still had their free will, but God said, they can be a part of what I'm trying to. Can you be a part of what God is trying to accomplish on this earth? It doesn't take a direct revelation from God to say, I chose you and I have a purpose and you are the very ones, and I want you to know that you have this purpose. You are living on the very street where you live so that you can teach the gospel to your neighbors. I put you on that street or in that workplace so that you can teach the people in that workplace. I put you in that restaurant and to serve an individual and in order that you might talk to them about the Lord. I put you in that restaurant for the very purpose that you might sit there and eat and invite that lost soul to the Lord. Can you know that? No, you cannot know it. But is it possible that in view of the things that we do know and the way that Mordecai said it to Esther, who knows, but perhaps you are in the school, you're in the workplace, you're in the gym, you're in the stores, you're in the marketplace, and your life will touch the life of some individual. It's remarkable if you'll think about Philip and the eunuch. I don't know that there's any way to know that that man riding in the chariot was being taught by Philip, to whom the Holy Spirit and an angel had said, go join yourself in that chariot. That man was looking for truth. Philip had free will. Philip could have said, I'm not going to do it. Wouldn't have frustrated God at all. God could have used someone else. But look at the loss Philip would have sustained. What's your purpose? Well, God, before I was born, had my whole life laid out philosophically, and God put me at this place, at this time, in this very workplace, so that I might be. No, you. There's no way without revelation that you can know that. But is it possible that you are right where you are right now, to use the words of Mordecai, for such a time as this? Folks, if that doesn't make your life exciting, every person you meet with that philosophy in your life will look different. You put that philosophy in your life, perhaps the Lord has put me at this place, at this time, for this very purpose. Perhaps. And the result is you, instead of seeing a waiter, instead of seeing somebody at work, instead of seeing somebody in the marketplace, instead of seeing someone at school, you will look at the world and all you will see will be souls. God help us. As the body of Jesus in Palm Beach County, God help us to see souls. Not knowing God put me here before I was born and knew I'd be here at this time. Without direct revelation. But the words of Mordecai ring in my ears every time I meet a new person. Is it possible that I'm meeting this person for the first time? In order to be a part of leading that person to the Lord. That's what makes life exciting. Why were you born? Two simple answers. It's not hard. Solomon, King Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, tried to figure it all out. He had all that money, he had all of that wisdom. He used his money, he built great buildings. He learned everything that he could. He was a wise man, and evidently, some of that wisdom at least came from the manifestation of the wisdom that he had came was manifested in the books that he wrote, the proverbs that he wrote, and things of that nature. World renowned, his fame went throughout the world. Is that what life is all about? Solomon, tell me what is the purpose of man on this earth? The wisest man searched for the answer. And his conclusion was, fear God and do right. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Wise man Solomon, who used all of your wisdom and all of your money and all of your education to figure out what life is all about, let us hear the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That's it. The totality of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and do right. I want to tell you something. I don't want you to ever forget it. It's always right to do right. And it's always wrong to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do right. And it's never right to do wrong. And that's right. Because the Bible's right. Why was I born? Wise man Solomon, tell me why I was born. To fear God and do what His will is. That's what it's all about. There's another answer to that, and that's the words given in Isaiah. Jehovah God, through Isaiah, says, Isaiah chapter 43. Everyone who is called by name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I've made him. Why did God make you? Why are you on this earth? God said, I made you in order that you may bring glory to me. I've seen the same thing Solomon says. Solomon is more specific in the details, but the end result is exactly the same, and that is, the purpose of my life on this earth is to fear God, keep His commandments, to let my light so shine before others that they may see my works and glorify my Father. Why is the church? Why is there a Palm Beach Lakes Church? to Him be glory in the church. To Him be glory in Palm Beach Lakes throughout all ages. To Him be glory to every member of the Palm Beach Lakes Church throughout all ages. That's why we're here. Let me ask the question one other way and then we'll stop. Not why were you born? Why were you born again? Nicodemus was born. He's a religious man. Came to Jesus by night. And here's a religious man that came asking the question evidently to find out more about life than he knew. Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's in verse 3. In verse 5 he says, and that birth, if you want to see the kingdom of God, verse 3, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, verse 5, there is one birth that involves the Holy Spirit of God and that involves water. Now, if that seems hard to you, just read the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is inspiring men to stand up and preach. And when they preach, young people, remember what we studied in the leadership training class? Every account that we studied, those individuals were baptized. Why? Because it's a birth of water. And the Holy Spirit of God gave individuals a message, and that led them to the water in order that they might be baptized into the death of Jesus and thereby wash their sins away in the blood of Jesus. And Jesus said, except you do this, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why were you born again? To be His voice to a lost world. If God went to your school, if Jesus went to your school, if Jesus worked in your workplace, Jesus lived on your street, if Jesus was a member of the gym that you go to, if Jesus was with that individual in the store, in the marketplace, you know what He'd be doing? Well, Paul describes it this way. He's not here, but he's got somebody that stands in his place on this earth. All things are of God, and He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus. And He's given us the ministry, the work of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing the trespasses to them, but He's committed unto us not only the work of reconciliation, but the word of reconciliation. So that we stand in the place of Jesus Christ on this earth, saying to the lost world, be reconciled to God. You want to know why you were born? You want to understand why you were born again? Because God needs somebody on this earth, in your school, in your workplace, in the marketplace, in the gym, in your neighborhood. God needs somebody in that place because Jesus is no longer on this earth, but His brothers and sisters are. And to them He's given the opportunity and the great privileges of saying to them, be reconciled to God. That's why we were born. And the Hebrew writer says, we were reconciled in order that we might be priests who offer sacrifices to God and who serve Him. Hear these words. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, thanking Him. An anthem of praise started 17 hours ago. that international date line that runs down through the middle of the Pacific. Just on the other side of that, 17 hours ago, it was Sunday morning. And those islands out there, New Zealand, Fiji, all the islands that was there. And as Sunday arrived, in church buildings, in residences where the church is small, in grass huts, all over the Pacific, there ascended into heaven, an aroma into the heavens of God. The fruit of the lips of the priests of God, the fruit of the lips of the priest of nobodies living in grass huts, ascended into heaven. Why? Our purpose is to offer the fruit of our lips praising Him. And as that sun went around this globe, when it reached Australia, just an hour or so away from New Zealand, the same thing started to happen in Melbourne and Sydney and Canberra. And as that sun progressed across the four time zones of Australia, and as it in turn began to sweep across those Pacific islands that are north of there, the Philippines, the New Hebrides, all of those islands, as praise was diminishing when the sun began to arise in other places, it continued on and on and on. And for the last 17 hours, there's been an aroma ascending into heaven where people who understand why they were born were offering the fruits of their lips in thanksgiving to God. And before that sun circumvents the earth, there are those Sunday afternoon, those Sunday night services that it begins to repeat again and again. For 25 or more hours, heaven is praised. Praised by those who use their lips to continually praise God. Could I call attention to one word in this verse to those of you who are sporadic in your attendance? And that's the word continually. God is great. God is good. Let us praise Him. And the other thing is, and the next verse says, and don't forget to do good, to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Why were you born? I'm a nobody. Wonderful. Why were you born? Because I can stand in the place of God as one who has been born again and say to the lost world, be reconciled to God. That's what it's all about. God help us to have the biblical view as to why the Lord gave birth to the church and put it on this earth so it'd be here in the 21st century. Are you in His family tonight? This day, are you a child of God? You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to make up your mind you're going to follow Him. Don't just sit there straddling the fence saying, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, make that decision, repentance. And turn away from that which is wrong and confess your faith in Jesus. The Bible says we need to do that and be baptized. Born of water and of the Spirit and added to His family. And serve Him faithfully until you die. If there are changes you need to make in your life, will you not let this church help you do that by letting it be known as together we stand and sing? Will you come?